أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ولنبلونكم بشيء من الخوف والجوع ونقص من الأموال والأنفس والثمرات وبشر الصابرين الذين إذا أصابتهم مصيبة قالوا إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون أولئك عليهم صلوات من ربهم ورحمة وأولئك هم المهتدون إن الصفا والمروة من شعائر الله فمن حج البيت أو اعتمر فلا جناح عليه أن يطوف بهما ومن تطوع خيرا فإن الله شاكر عليم صدق الله العظيم. الحمد لله وفضل الكرم فالله سبحانه وتعالى. We had discussed verse 153 last week. يا أيها الذين آمنوا استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة إن الله مع الصابرين. O believers, seek help by means of patience, sabr and salah. Verily Allah is with the patient ones, the asabirin. We discussed last week the different types of sabr and the virtues and importance of sabr, and how one seeks help and nusrat from Allah through sabr and through salah. And we explained that they are a means of averting calamities. Salah is a means of averting calamities. And then we discuss about the shuhada, the virtues of the martyrs. And today, inshaAllah, we discuss with the fadl and karam of Allah Rabbul Izzat.
وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْصٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ.
Again, related to sabr. The key theme is sabr. And here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains to us a very important point which many of us do not understand. We cannot comprehend. We cannot understand the wisdom of these things. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says very clearly, with great emphasis, Allah used the Arabic word وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ. The word bala yablu in Arabic means to test. And the lam in front, la, comes for emphasis. And the noon has a tajdeed, also for emphasis, thaqila. So, wala nabluwannakum, Allah says, most surely, definitely, we will test you بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ, with some fear. مِن come for تَبْعِيد, part. So we'll test you with some fear. وَالْجُوعِ, and hunger. And نَقْصٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْوَالِ, a deficiency in wealth. وَالْأَنفُسِ, deficiency in life. وَالثَّمَرَاتِ, deficiency in provisions. So this world is a place of tests, trials, tribulations. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created man to test man. تبارك الذي بيده الملك وهو على كل شيء قدير الذي خلق الموت والحياة. Allah is the one who created mort, death and life. ليبلوكم, to test you. أيكم أحسن عملا, which one of you is best in doing good actions. So the whole purpose, the maqsad of this life in this world is, it is a test. It is a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We come into this world, sometimes a person experiences the test of fear. Sometimes it is a test of hunger. Sometimes a person loses his family member, close ones, relatives.
So there's lives of friends that are lost, relatives, some children, grandchildren, aunts, parents. Sometimes a person loses, or he experiences, he encounters a loss in his provisions, his material provisions, his possessions. Sometimes there is a fear of enemy. There are natural disasters, droughts, floods, earthquakes. Sometimes it is a collapse of buildings. Sometimes it is theft. Sometimes it is a power failure, and thus resulting in a shutdown of machinery. Sometimes it's diseases that are spreading. Sometimes the harvest that he was ready to plow and receive the fruit of it, suddenly those crops are destroyed. There are locusts, there are insects. So many different tests people have. Sometimes it is depression. Allah says, we will test you. And Allah wants from us to persevere, to have sabr, patience, and to go through these trials of life in the different forms that it may come. We don't ask for sabr, we don't ask for calamities, we ask for afiyat, for safety from calamities, but Allah will still test each person in different ways. There is no person who has come into this world from the time he is born and lives so many years in this world and he experiences no type of test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No. Every single one. Allah with great emphasis. Allah has said that Allah will test you, and in these things that Allah has enumerated. And Allah says, وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ, that give glad tidings to those who are patient. In other words, the maqsad that Allah is testing you and I, number one, to see who does good actions, actions that are in accordance to the will and pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah does not want us to complain regarding these tests. Therefore, Allah wants us to bear patience, perseverance, fortitude. And then Allah says, you get glad tidings. وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ. Who are the sabireen? Who are the patient ones? الَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُمْ مُصِيبَةٌ. They are those whom when any calamity befalls them, any adversity afflicts them, what do they say? قَالُوا إِنَّا لِلَّهِ. Verily we all belong to Allah. وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. And we will return to Allah. So this is the response that a believer gives. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to realize that all the tests that come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah wants us to remain content with the decision of Allah. Rida bil qada. To be pleased, to be content with whatever decision Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made. Whatever Allah has sent down, whatever disaster, whatever pain, whatever suffering, whatever test, whatever trial, tribulation, whether it is fear, whether it is hunger, whether it is poverty, whether it is loss of life, properties, countries, possessions, whatever it is, Allah wants us to understand that all this comes from Allah, and man should never question Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's divine wisdom behind these conditions. Allah sends for us favorable conditions as well, and sometimes they are adverse conditions. Person is so well, and everything going so beautifully, so smoothly for him, suddenly a disaster befalls him. Some loss, some ill health, some loss of property. So he is going through a test, and Allah wants him to exercise sabr. So the very first thing Allah wants is Allah expects from us not to question His divine wisdom behind these adverse conditions. Many of us do not understand the divine wisdom. Many of us try to probe and try to examine the wisdom behind these calamities that come upon the ummah or come upon individuals. And when we cannot understand the wisdom behind it, when we see loss of lives, or even children losing their lives, we see disasters taking place, then we begin to make some absurd statements, some foolish statements. And we say, why is Allah sending these type of calamities? Ma'azallah, some people even question the existence of Allah then. Is there really an Allah watching and seeing? Can't He do something? Why is He being so cruel, ma'azallah? Ma'azallah. Why is Allah making zulm upon the Muslims? No, no. So they make these absurd comments. And you say, look at the non-believers. They are in such comfort. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants, this is the test, that listen, whatever condition, whether it is favorable or unfavorable, you have to be content with whatever condition Allah has decreed for you. And Allah wants you to be patient through these tests. Remember last week I mentioned, what is the greatest blessing of sabr? Inna Allah ma'a sabireen. Inna Allah ma'a sabireen. The person who is making sabr, then he has got the ma'iyat of Allah. He has got the closeness of Allah. He's got the love of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is testing him. And Allah is giving him His closeness. What better reward can one get? So some ignorant ones do not understand the reason behind why Allah is sending down calamities. In essence, Allah is bringing you closer to Him. So these distressful situations are, number one, Allah bringing you closer to Him, and number two, Allah makes these an atonement for one's sins. So Allah raises your rank, you gain closer to Allah, and Allah is washing away your sins through the pain and suffering that you are getting in this world. By exercising sabr, Allah is elevating your ranks, and Allah is washing away all your sins. Subhanallah. So a person should be content with the decision of Allah. He should persevere. His rank is going to be higher. He's getting the ma'iyat of Allah. And he's getting reward from Allah for sabr. And his sins are being washed away. They're being wiped out. So all his evil deeds are now being obliterated. Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala, when the verse came down, وَمَن يَعْمَلْ سُوءًا يُجْزَ بِهِ, whoever perpetrates an evil act, any evil act, then he shall be punished for it. Subhanallah. He became worried. Ya Rasulullah, is there any way to salvation after this verse coming down? Is there any way of najat? وَمَن يَعْمَلْ سُوءًا, whoever does any act of ill, of any bad deed, then he'll be given his retribution, he'll be punished. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, O Abu Bakr, may Allah have mercy upon you. Do you never fall ill any time? Does not any difficulty, no, any grief afflict you? Does no calamity befall you? He responded, definitely these things do occur. Rasulullah then said, by means of all these calamities befalling me, befalling you, your sins are being washed away. They are being obliterated. And when the sins are obliterated, there's no punishment then. So subhanallah, these tests, trials, tribulations, whether it is a despot, whether it is a tyrant ruler, taking away the lives of so many people, whether it is a famine, a plague or a drought, whether it is flood or natural disasters, or illness or sickness, whatever the calamity, person's sins are being washed away. And when the sins are being washed away, his bad deeds are going lesser and lesser and lesser and lesser. And he's getting sawab for being patient. Or if he has passed away, then he's got shahadat in some calamity. Or at least his sins are forgiven and his ranks in the hereafter are raised. In one hadith, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu was answered, O Abu Bakr, you and your companions will receive atonement for yourselves in this dunya, so that you may meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a condition that no single sin remains to your account. As for the disbelievers, all their sins will be accumulated, and that they will receive their full chastisement in the hereafter. So Allah is so kind. Believer is getting most of his sins washed away here. And in fact, sometimes all his sins are forgiven. So the adversities that afflict a person. Number one, Allah wants to test you. To see, are you happy? Is he rida from your side with the qada of Allah? Number one. Number two, Allah wants you to be steadfast, persevere, go through this test. It's a temporary test. Allah never makes a person suffer his whole life. There are times of prosperity as well. So Allah wants you to be steadfast and go through it and gain His proximity, His closeness. Allah wants to reward you. And Allah wants to reward you immensely. And then at times, calamities do come down because of our sins. It is sometimes a result of the deeds that we are doing. And therefore, Allah still pardons us by sending down these calamities. So calamities come down. One as a test of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So even it comes on pious people. Sayyidina Ayyub alayhi salatu salam was a Nabi of Allah, Masum. Still he suffered sickness. But it is for them, it is a means of gaining higher and higher in their ranks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And sometimes these calamities come, it is because وَمَا أَصَابَكُم مِّن مُصِيبَةٍ فَبِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِيكُمْ is because of our own doings. وَيَعْفُ عَنْ كَثِيرٍ but Allah pardons a great deal. Sayyidina Abu Huraira رضي الله عنه said, Rasulullah said, Allah afflicts that person with difficulty for whom he intends good. مَنْ يُرِدِ اللَّهُ بِهِ خَيْرًا يُصِبْ مِنْهُ anybody whom Allah once intends good for him, Allah puts him through some difficulty, and therefore the greatest of calamities, the most severest of trials and tribulations came to who? To the Anbiya alayhimu salatu salam, to the Nabis of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So whatever difficulty afflicts a mu'min, it will be an atonement for his sins. Even if it is any sickness, or some worry, some grief, or a thorn that pricks a person, he's walking, she's walking, suddenly a nail or a thorn that pricks the person on the foot, on the heel, and the person jumps up. Even that is an atonement for one's sins. Subhanallah. So, Rasulullah said, عَجَبًا لِأَمْرِ الْمُؤْمِنِ how wonderful is the condition of a believer. If he gets some prosperity, he makes shukr and that is good for him. And if some calamity, adversity befalls him, he makes sabr and that is good for him. So both sabr and shukr, both are good for the person. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, once he finds a sahabiya, Musaib radiallahu ta'ala anha, he finds her ill. He asks her, what is the cause of her condition? So she said, it was severe fever, and she cursed fever. She cursed it. Rasulullah said, no. Do not curse the fever, because it actually eradicates the sins of a sick person, just as a furnace eradicates dirt from the metal. Now when you're going to put that metal into the fire, we see the fire is going to take away all the filth. Just like that, this fever, the severity of the fever, is eradicating all the filth from the person's heart, from his body. In other words, it is purifying him from sin. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala intends good for any servant, Allah gives him punishment in this world. Allah speeds up his punishment for him in this world. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala intends harm for a person, Allah withholds the punishment for the hereafter. And the punishment of the hereafter is far more worse, far more severe. May Allah protect us. Sometimes a person loses a little infant child, and I mentioned this topic many times. It causes much grief, and naturally it will cause pain to the mother and the father. May Allah protect us. But when Rasulullah was asked, and he said, see the mother and father, the couple who loses their children, they'll be made to enter Jannah by the rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. On the day of Qiyamah, these children who passed away at birth or infancy, they will argue with Allah. In dunya, you deprive us something, our parents. Now in the year after, don't deprive us. Don't send our parents to Jahannam. Send them in to Jannah with us. And Allah will grant those parents Jannah. So difficulties, calamities, do come. Whether it is fear, grief, whatever it is. But a mu'min always says, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. This is the quality of a believer. What does he say? Inna lillah. So he admits, he recites, he says, Qalu, Inna lillah. We belong to Allah. And we all realize, by saying Inna lillah, we realize that we are slaves of Allah. So we are actually admitting, confessing, realizing, and we are saying that we are slaves of Allah. And we are Allah's creation. And Allah is the creator. Whatever He does, we should be content with His decision. We belong to Allah. Whatever life He has given, it is His. Whatever wealth He has given, it is His. So He has given us, and He chooses to take from us. It also belongs to Him. Whatever Allah chooses to do with His creation, it is His right. No one has the authority to object. No one has the authority to show displeasure. No one has the authority to show discontent, neither by the tongue, nor by the heart. So many times we find a person loses his sabr. Person loses his sabr. And we find people pulling their hair, slashing their faces, making blasphemous statements. Why did Allah send this bala upon me? Couldn't Allah send it upon somebody else? Couldn't Allah take somebody else's child? No, no. Whenever a Muslim man or woman recalls even a difficulty which may have occurred some time before, but the moment he recalls it, he says, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Verily to Allah we belong, and to Allah we shall return. Then Allah still grants him the same reward which he acquired the day the difficulty had afflicted him. Subhanallah. Whenever the shoelace of a person or a strap of a person's shoe breaks, then too he should say, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Nabi Kareem from Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu anha, and the lamp goes off. And immediately he says, Inna lillah wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Everything belongs to Allah. Whatever conditions come, they are from Allah. Allah is kind. Allah is loving. Allah will not put us to difficulty. Allah tests us, but Allah then gives us ease. So sometimes it is ease, sometimes it is adversity. Neither ease nor adversity lasts forever and ever. Mu'min exercises sabr, patience. He's grateful to Allah, he's rewarded, and his sins are forgiven. So we understand that the very first thing is make sabr. And sabr at his first occurrence, which I mentioned last week. Not 10 years after the calamity, and then we say, now I'm making sabr. No. So the heart to be grieved is natural. For the eyes to well up with tears, it is natural. This is not again sabr. Again sabr means we complain against Allah's decision. But a person loses his mother, father, child. It is natural. Natural. Any person who's got a heart, he will cry, he will shed those tears, he'll feel that pain, that grief. Any loss of property, wealth, whatever it is. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he lost his son Ibrahim radiallahu ta'ala, his tears welled up, or his eyes welled up with tears. Sahaba asked Abdurrahman bin Auf, radiallahu anhu, was present. Ya Rasulullah, ma hadha al-buka ya Rasulullah. Why are you crying? Common people will weep at the loss of their children. Why are you crying? You're the Nabi of Allah. Rasulullah said, this is a natural compassion, love, muhabbat, which Allah has placed in the heart. He says, tears may flow, the heart may be grieved, but the tongue must only see that which is pleasing to Allah. Then Nabi Kareem addressed his son who had passed away. Little child, O Ibrahim, indeed we are saddened by your separation. We are saddened. So hadith explains to us, Allah does not punish a person for the tears that he shed on, or the grief of the heart, but Allah will punish him or her for the utterances of the tongue. So punishment is meted out to the person when the person makes objections against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us understand that whatever happens, the calamities, the conditions that occur in the world, whilst we feel the pain, and we should assist our Muslim brothers and sisters, but don't ever complain against the decree of Allah. Don't ever make statements as, is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not watching, not seeing? How can he be so oppressive? Ma'azallah. On the day of Qiyamah, those people who went to great difficulties and tests, and when they exercise sabr upon these calamities, and they see the reward in the hereafter, my respected mothers and elders, believe me, it comes in the books, in the kitab, in the hadith, that the person will say, oh Allah, he'll desire that in dunya he had only suffering and pain and calamities and adversities because of the great unlimited reward he sees in the hereafter for sabr that was exercised upon calamities and adversities. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala thereafter says, أُولَٰئِكَ عَلَيْهِمْ صَلَوَاتٌ مِّن رَبِّهِمْ وَرَحْمَةٌ وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُهْتَدُونَ. Such people, they have got salawat from Allah. They have got rahmat from Allah. In other words, these people whom Allah is giving glad tidings, Allah is praising, they have got the special mercies of Allah. They are the rightly guided. They've got special mercies from Allah. And they've got hidayat from Allah. So there is purification for them, forgiveness for them, special mercies, multitudes of Allah's mercy, compassion, Allah's favors. So Allah's special mercy. And Allah is showing that they have attained the right path. Why? Because they are happy with the decision of Allah. May Allah Ta'ala make us amongst those people who are the rightly guided and who enjoy the special mercies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thereafter Allah says, إِنَّ الصَّفَا وَالْمَرْوَةَ مِنْ شَعَائِرِ اللَّهِ. Respected mothers and elders, we are now in the days of the Hijjah. And these are the Mubarak days of Hajj. Soon the Hujjaj will leave for Mina, Arafat, Muzdalifah. May Allah accept every Haji. May Allah accept them. May Allah grant them a Hajj Mabrur, Maqbool. May Allah return them like how they are the day when they are born with no sin. And Allah brings them back safely with good health and in a pious condition, in a righteous condition, with their hearts brimming with the love of Allah. Purified hearts. And those people who had intention, who made efforts to go for Hajj, but they were unable to go still, may Allah still grant them Hajj Mabrur Maqbool. All those who passed away whilst going on this pilgrimage, and whilst they were in this Haramain Sharifain, whatever disaster afflicted them, and they got Shahadat, may Allah give them the highest of ranks in the hereafter. Imagine on the day of Qiyamah, they will rise in the condition of those who are in Ihram, saying the Labbaik, those who are in Sajda, and those who are reciting, making Tawaf, and those who are reading Tilawat, or even sitting in that Mataf. What a beautiful way of standing on the day of Qiyamah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant their family Sabri Jameel as well. So Allah said, Inna Safa wal Marwata min Sha'airillah. You see, Safa and Marwa, we did the whole incident of Hajar alayhi salatu wasalam running from this one hill to the other hill and looking for water for Ibrahim alayhi, for Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam, her little child. So these two hills, in the time of Jahiliyyah, the people used to make Hajj and they used to run between these two hills as well. But they had idols placed on either side. Is'af and Na'ilah, the names of two idols. And they would run and they would touch these idols and they would gain some type of, in their understanding, some blessings from these idols. When Islam came and they realized that all these things was abolished, some of the Ansar now thought that no more Safa Marwa. And they thought if they have to run between Safa and Marwa, it will be a sin. It will be disobedience to Allah. Therefore Allah sent down this verse. So understand it with this incident. And Allah says, إِنَّ الصَّفَا وَالْمَرْوَةَ مِنْ شَعَائِرِ اللَّهِ. Verily, Safa and Marwa are among the signs of Allah. Whoever performs Hajj Umrah of the Baytullah, there shall be no sin now upon him if he runs between Safa and Marwa. It doesn't mean you don't have to do it. فَلَا جُنَاهَ عَلَيْهِ. In relation, in response to the Ansar who taught it, who who deemed it to be Islam, if they are to run now, because they thought they be imitating the time of Jahiliyyah, where people should run between Safa and Marwa, and they should touch his idols, and now they thought if they have to run between Safa and Marwa, then it will be disobedience, it will turn them out to sin, then for them Allah is explaining. I said, no sin. In fact, Allah says, now you should be doing it. You should be running between Safa and Marwa. Allah says, whoever performs a good act of his free will, Allah will show, Allah is most grateful. Allah is all knowing. Allah knows your intention. And Allah is most grateful. So Safa, or Sa'i between Safa and Marwa, it was performed in the time of ignorance. And Islam came, and the verses of Tawaf were revealed, and Nabi Karim from explained to them that they should carry out the Safa and Marwa. And that is why we run these 7 rounds from Safa and Marwa. May Allah Ta'ala make it easy for us. And when we run in this Safa and Marwa, of course, for the men, then we should understand the Qurbani of Hazrat Ali Salatu Salam. Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu anha was once asked by her nephew, and regarding this verse, there should be no sin upon him. So the nephew thought that no sin, so if a person omits it, is no problem. She says, no. And she explained to him that this verse was revealed for the Ansar, who abstained from performing Sa'i. And Nabi Akram explained to him, no, that now they should be making Safa and Marwa. There's no sin like they would have thought, because the time of Jahiliyyah, people used to place idols and make Sa'i. May Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat. May Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala bless us in these Mubarak days. May Allah give us tawfiq of keeping Roza during these days. May Allah give us tawfiq of making Ibadat during these days. Great sawab which you have read. Imagine the nights you read some Ibadat, you get sawab of Laylatul Qadr night. And during these days you keep fast, you get so much of sawab. May Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq at least of keeping fast on the day of Arafat. That is the coming Wednesday, inshallah, next week Wednesday. If a person keeps Arafat day, Roza, then his previous year's sins are forgiven, and next year's sins are forgiven, all the minor sins are forgiven. Allah Ta'ala is so kind, so merciful, so grateful. And on the day of Qurbani, we have mentioned in many talks, we have heard many talks, that it is the best action of the day is to sacrifice the animal before the blood reaches the ground. Allah already accepts that sacrifice. Of course, please, respected sisters, mothers and elders, let us bear in mind the laws of Sharia, the laws of Hijab, the laws of Parda. This is something that most people, they openly violate on that Mubarak day. May Allah Ta'ala bless us with a happy Eid, a joyous Eid, full of afiyat and barakat, and Allah accept our qurbani, and Allah forgive us during these Mubarak days, and Allah change the conditions of the entire Muslim Ummah. May Allah make peace and mercy prevail in the four corners of the globe.